Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony, let's go. So check this out. The Bears had mini camp. The first for Matt Nagy. He had an opportunity to run his team through some stuff, to install the offense over the last 3 days, to get a feel of what he has and what how it all works. You know what's something else interesting that Emma said yesterday? He was talking about how Nagy is real particular about what the practice field looks like, how guys get from station to station during drills, like how things need to be cleaned. I thought that was a really, really, maybe we'll go through that tomorrow. That's an interesting thing about the new Bears head coach. But maybe the most important relationship that he's going to have is the one he's going to have with his quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. Trubisky went through the last 3 days of install and working with Matt Nagy. He spoke to the media, something that, honestly, like, Trubisky doesn't talk a lot. It's strange that a quarterback in this town, you don't see him. Like, he was out in L.A. working out there. Like, he's not present a lot, and he's definitely not present behind the microphone. So it's when he gets an opportunity to talk, I like to pay attention to what he has to say. This was Trubisky talking about everything that went on in the mini camp earlier today.
And the why of a lot of these plays, like why you're running this play already?
Absolutely. That's definitely why I love this offense and the coaches and how they're handling this process. We really start from ground bottom, and we start each play with why. This is what it's good against. And if we don't get this type of defense, then this is our options to go off that. So this is what we want, and if we don't get this, this is how we adjust from there. So they do a great job teaching it. And it's not only me, all the other positions know the whys of the offense. So everybody will be on the same page. We'll all have answers, and then we'll just be able to click as an offense because everybody knows our jobs and what we're looking for.
What do you see in Coach Nagy? What's your impression of him?
Yeah, Coach Nagy's awesome. Just every day you can feel the excitement and the energy he brings, and you could hear the passion in his voice and how he talks about things. I just really I get a really genuine feel when I'm around him. You could just he's very authentic. He's real. He's going to keep it real all the time, and he's awesome to be around. So he's been that way from day one, and it's going to stay that way. And he's just rallying the troops, and we're all buying into his plan. We're all very excited to play for him, and we had a great 3 days. So we just got to keep it rolling from there. But he's put a great staff together, and just continue excited to learn from him and everyone else as we move forward. Yeah. Just being around the guys as much as possible and then studying the playbook on my own. Got it a couple of weeks ago and just trying to be as prepared as possible. Obviously, it's best to learn when the coaches are teaching it to you, but just being at my house, studying it by myself, and just try to get prepared as much as you really can on your own going into this. But I think you learn the most from the experience on the field and then learning from film. So instead of watching Kansas City or other teams in the past, where we get to watch our own reps and learn from those mistakes and just get better that way.
What do you think about the offseason signings, offense, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey
Burke? I'm very excited about those guys and the talent they bring and just the type of people they are to help this organization. So they're awesome guys and they're very talented. And I think we're bringing the right people in to just help us on offense and defense as well. So our defense had a very, very good last 3 days of camp, and they're pushing us on offense. And those three guys, I think, are going to help us a lot on offense along with everyone else. So a couple more pieces, and if we just keep buying into this plan, and keep studying this offense. I think this new offense and what we got here is going to utilize everyone's talents very well.
Somebody like Chase Daniel.
You guys have both kind of had the same amount of time to work yourselves into this offense. What have you seen from his growth and progression, especially mentally?
Yeah, Tariq is very smart. He picks up things very quickly. Really, I would say a lot of the guys on offense have done that as well. So everyone's picking up quickly, and we're just making adjustments on the fly of the field. So Tariq is very explosive and a very good route runner of the backfield, and obviously we're going to get him the ball in his hands, him and Jordan and the rest of the backs. I think they're going to fit great into this offense. So he's picked it up quickly. He's good running routes out of the backfield, and we're just going to utilize his hands and get him the ball and everyone else and every which way we can just to keep the defense on their heels and make explosive plays. So he's done a great job these last 3 days.
What can somebody like Chase Daniel do to help you learn the offense?
Yeah, Chase has been awesome. Him and Tyler Bray being here have helped me a lot already and just getting to know those guys and what they know about the offense because they've been with Nagy before and they know the offense really well. So just getting their point of views. And, I mean, I feel like these last 3 days I've been coached more than I ever have because I have Coach Helfrich, Coach Ragone, who was here last year with me, Coach Nagy, and then I come off when it's not my reps, and I talk to Tyler, I talk to Chase. So just having a bunch of, like, brilliant offensive minds around me, I'm just getting a lot of information, I'm trying to be a sponge, and it's been a lot of fun working with those guys and just learning as much as I can these last 3 days.
Specifically with Mark Helfrich, what stands out to you about him?
Yeah, Coach Helfrich, he's, I mean, the staff that Nate put together, they're great people first off, and then they're very intelligent, and that goes right with Coach Helfrich. He's very intelligent. He's very detail-specific, so he helps me on the details of each play, footwork, where my eyes need to be, what I should be thinking pre-snap and post-snap, just to get those little edge, that little edge that you need every play to make the defense wrong and make you right. So, he's been calling the plays in, and him and Nagy have been doing a great job just being in my ear, just being as detailed as possible over these 3 days, and I feel like I've progressed a lot over the last 3 days, and it's been awesome learning from him. Yeah, it's awesome. Me and Coach Ragone have a pretty good relationship, so just I think he knows me pretty much better than anyone in this building just because we spent so much time together in the classroom last year and going into this year. So just being able to work with him, he's a great teacher as well. So he had the interview with Nagy and the new staff coming in. I think they saw how great of a teacher is and a special guy is and what he can contribute to our quarterback room. So it's been awesome just continue to work with him and the rest of the staff and team that we're putting together.
Your coach said that you have immense focus. What does that mean? Is that
immense focus?
Immense focus, yeah.
That's a good word, yeah. I guess it is exactly what it says. I have immense focus. I know a lot more than what I did last year, but I definitely don't know everything. So just being where I am now, I'm trying to learn as much as possible. Just staying focused on the task at hand, and I'm just very excited about what this team could potentially do and what we have just going forward, and you just don't want to waste these opportunities. So just being immensely focused every day, just getting the most out of each day, the most out of each rep, each meeting, just trying to be the best you could possibly can. I'd be doing myself and my teammates a disservice if I wasn't immensely focused every day. So, yeah, that's a sweet word. So that's what I'm trying to do. And it's a lot of fun, and I love it. So I couldn't be happier to do it every day with a bunch of guys that I care about in this locker room. And
you're just in the first year, or the first stage one, first step of this offense. As a quarterback, are you feeling your way through, or can you envision, see what this offense will be like in step five or six down the road, and it's just a matter of getting there?
Yeah, definitely. So we're trying to get the basics down first, but Nate's been talking to me, and he just says, like this is the – it. All right, this is where we're about to get real deep. So this is how exciting this offense is. So, like, we're just doing the basics, but we're trying not to get too far ahead, but Nagy pulls me over the side. He's like, all right, like, we just have that throw, but we got, like, two or three more plays off of that, and that'll come going forward. But we try not to get ahead of ourselves, but it's cool to look into – where we're going and knowing that there's plenty of plays ahead. There's a lot of exciting stuff that's going to go within this offense that we haven't gotten to yet. And so he kind of gives me previews and flashes of where we're going to be, just like some routes or concepts or play actions or anything like that. But yeah, we're just trying to master the basics first, and then there's just complexities on complexities and plays off plays and just building from there.
But tough not to get too far ahead of yourself because
Definitely, but it's exciting, so I think that's why he gives me glimpses and previews, and we have those side conversations and just knowing what we're going to be in the future. But first things first, you got to master the basics and then build off and go from there. But it's just exciting to talk about and know that's where we could be down the line.
Prime time for week one in Green Bay. What would that opportunity be like? How exciting would that be?
We'll see. That would be. We've got a couple more hours, so I guess we'll find out.
Mitch, Matt alluded yesterday to your experience at North Carolina in the shotgun and how maybe some of that will overlap. Do you have a sense from what your collegiate experience particularly will do for you in Matt's scheme?
Yeah, definitely. I think I just feel it feels natural to be more in this kind of offense. You got the RPO game, the play action, the quick drop back, getting the ball out quick, stuff that I've done in my past from high school to North Carolina. And then you got, like, the West Coast pro-style concepts mixed it, grooved in with that. So it's I feel like this offense is going to utilize my talents and do and use what comes natural to me, per se. But like anything else, you got to learn it and just do your job within the offense. But I definitely feel like it's going to utilize my talents and utilize the other guys we have on the offense with us. But, yeah, it's just what comes natural. I think being at North Carolina, run that similar types of offense is definitely going to help. Not that much. I mean, I've heard like, you see a bunch of things about who we could get and stuff, but I really don't know as much about the players as much as I could, I guess.
So much of the free agent signings have been on the offensive side.
Right. I've been more looking at free agents than the kids in the draft.
Just said you think it's time for the investigative draft.
They're probably wanting one, right? our defense is awesome, and I don't know what we want. I'm not the GM, but I think you just take the best player available and just get some talent. And, I mean, we all believe in the front office, what Ryan Pace and what Coach Nagy is doing. So they're going to do what's right for this team. I have no doubt about that. So I think we're going to get some more great players in the draft, and I'm excited about who we got and about who we're going to get and where we're headed. So
beyond the new playbook and everything about how does this feel different for you personally being in year two as opposed to walking in?
Yeah, it feels a lot different. I think I just kind of know what to expect, what I need to do on a day-to-day basis, and it's just a lot of fun to go out there and do it with these guys. Just having the experience from last year and learning so much, you kind of know what to expect. You could just go out there, be yourself, and really lead this team in the way I know how. And I just feel like I have more leadership, more accountability, and it's just more fun in that way. The experience from last year is there's no substitute for it. So, I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Everything happens for a reason. We're in this position today because of things that happened in the past. And you just go one day at a time and hope for the best, continue to work hard, and just realize it's a privilege to be a Chicago Bear.
Jeez, he threw in like 7 cliches in 20 seconds at the end. He was like, he was going, okay, so I know this is the last question. Let me just, you know.
Empty the clip.
Yeah, he did. It's just, at the end of it, it was like, well, you know, gotta thank the Lord Jesus for putting us in this position and everything happens. He didn't say anything about Jesus. I'm just saying. And I'm just here to help the ball club. You know, all of that stuff. Just throw it in there. Here's some highlights I took from what Mitch had to say. He talked about the excitement and the energy that Nagy brings, and that there's a genuine feel from him, that he gets a genuine vibe from him. That's good. I thought it was interesting where he was talking about the ability to watch your own reps, that he's probably been, since Nagy was hired, watching tape of Philadelphia, watching tape of Kansas City. And some people can learn that way, and a lot of quarterbacks can learn that way. But there is a difference between that and then understanding what you were supposed to do on a particular play and did or didn't, and then using your own film to learn what it is you're supposed to be doing. I thought that was probably the most interesting thing that came out of it. He thinks that he's a natural fit because of what he did at North Carolina for those 13 games with some of the RPO stuff connected with the West Coast concepts that Nagy brings in. Wants to get the basics down first. That was said over and over again. And he feels like he has a better understanding of what to expect from day to day. So, you know, I thought I would take a listen to it. You would take a listen to it. And we'd hear where Mitch thinks he is right now. If you'd like to react, we got a little bit of time to do it. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes, talking about the Bears. Here with you on The Score. I ran across something that you as a Bears fan might find interesting. I'm Lawrence Holmes, by the way. Here with you until 10 o'clock. USA Today put out a piece this morning. The title of the piece is Sports NFL Agent Poll. Washington, Bruce Allen get low marks on preparedness and trust. USA Today sports columnist Jarrett Bell and NFL reporter Lindsey H. Jones have been polling agents this year to get a sense of how they view the league's teams, executives, and its businesses, particularly those linked to labor relations and collective bargaining. A total of 25 agents responded to a series of questions, with some choosing to abstain to certain portions of the survey. But most did provide opinions when asked which teams were most prepared during free agency, which decision makers commanded the most respect and the least, and more. Here's what their answers revealed. And parenthetically, it says, all agents participated under the condition of anonymity due to the sensitivity of the questions. I would also like to add that there's like 800 agents. Just so you know, there's a ton of them. My hope is that they talk to some of the most influential, because that would be great, but there's nothing that says that they did that. I'll start with the collective bargaining stuff, and then we'll get to some of the rankings in here. Regarding the collective bargaining agreement, what's the best thing? One, rules instituted for player safety slash health. Two, growth of salary cap. Three, a tie, better benefits, teams forced to spend a minimum percentage of the salary cap. And five, it will expire in three more years. The worst thing about the collective bargaining agreement, rookie wage scale, revenue split favors owners, not players. Middle-class players struggling to get jobs because they're too easily replaced by rookies. And Roger Goodell's disciplinary power. How would you rate the job performance of NFL PA chief Demoris Smith? 10% of them said excellent. You had 50% say good, 32% said fair, 8% said poor. Although one of them did say he's doing the worst job of any union chief, with no understanding of PR and how to state the player's case to the fans and public. Which NFL decision maker, owner, GM, coach do you respect the least or trust the least? Number four, Bengals owner Mike Brown. Number three, Broncos GM John Elway. Number two, Dolphins executive vice president of football operations Mike Tannenbaum. Number one, Washington president Bruce Allen. Who do you respect the most? Number four, tied, Les Snead of the Rams, Kevin Colbert of the Steelers, Chris Ballard of the Colts. Number three, Seahawks GM John Schneider. Number two, Patriots coach Bill Belichick. Number one, Ravens GM Ozzie Newsome. What's the biggest issue agents have while competing for clients? Number five, conflicts of interest. Number four, influence of large agencies. Number three, competitors with low standards, poor ethics. Number two, undercutting fees, fee structure. And number one, inducements. And now what you might be interested in. Which team is prepared during contract negotiations the best? Number five, the Packers. Number four, the Broncos. Number three, the Patriots. Number two, the Eagles. Number one, the 49ers. Which team is prepared during contract negotiations the worst? Tied at five, the Raiders and the Jets. And number four, your Chicago Bears. Number three, Washington. Number two, the Browns. Number one, the Bengals. Remember how I kept telling y'all that they the Browns? I got something fun for you after Julia's done with the scoreboard update. These young whippersnapper update people keep trying to tell them, gotta go paper. Young whippersnappers. If you need legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions that you want to answer to cvschicago.com/legal advice or look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's cvschicago.com/legal advice. So last night we had this incredible show. We had a really good guest, and thanks to Herbie for all the hard work that he put in getting people not just to be on the show, but getting them here in studio. Occasionally, a guest throws something at you that you're not quite prepared for. And I do love when I talk to other media members, I like to talk to them about their rise. Like, how did they get from where they started to where they are right now? And usually what happens, like I'm a bit of an anomaly. I have spent my entire career in Chicago. I've been very lucky that I've been able to do that. I got in at the Score in 98 and I haven't left. At least I haven't left Chicago. Like, I've been doing other stuff, but I've had my whole career be here in Market 3, which is crazy. The usual route is you start after school, or if you didn't go to school, you start in a really small market. And you start in markets where you have to do all sorts of weird stuff to get on because they don't have a giant staff. So you're the cameraman and you're the editor and you're the news reporter and you're also the sports person and all of these things. I tell you this just to set up the conversation that I had with Luke Stuckmeyer. He was on the show last night, and his stories about his humble beginnings in this business were fascinating. I thought you might enjoy just a little chunk of what we were talking about last night.
I just was looking back at my first job this week because of all the snow.
Where was it?
It was Marquette, Michigan, which is, you know, there's the hand of Michigan, and then there's the top of Michigan, the other piece over the Mackinac Bridge. So that's Marquette, Michigan is not where Marquette plays, which is what most people think. That's Milwaukee. This is 3.5 hours straight north of Green Bay. And then it continues for another 2 hours north of that town. So you covered from the Mackinac Bridge down to Green Bay, out to Minnesota. And they just had 32 inches of snow last week.
Oh, my
goodness. Last weekend, I'm sorry, 32 inches of snow.
Where? How long were you there?
I was there three and a half years.
What's the craziest story that you covered when you were there?
That's tough. Craziest story. I covered the third annual outhouse races. that was out there in Ontonagon, Michigan there. The third annual. That was I did dog sled races, ski jumping, did series on deer hunting.
I was going to ask, because I would imagine there are probably some people that probably wanted to take you hunting.
Yeah, and it was right out of the gate. I had never gone hunting in my life, and they're like, Sweeps is coming up. You're going to do a 3-part series on deer hunting and deer camp. The kids get off 2 weeks of school for deer season up there.
Are you serious?
2 weeks. It's like Christmas break up there.
Wow.
And it was brutal. Cold, like snow up over your knees already by November 2nd.
Did you even have the clothes to do this job?
No. You had to go buy the stuff. And you didn't have the money to go buy it, but so you called mom and dad and were like, hey, how about a, you know.
About a little Christmas?
Little something. I need real boots. Like, the boots we wear here don't cut it.
So did you learn did they do the fish out of water stuff where you learn how to shoot a gun or you learn how to ice fish or anything like that?
No, I really didn't. I got involved in some of that because I did news and weather first because I couldn't get a sports job out of school. And so I finally took a news producing job and then I did news reporting and then I was the weather guy for a year. And then finally at the very end, they're like, okay, we'll let you do sports. So I never really did the crazy. I mean, I did. You had to come up with just ridiculous stuff. I mean, when I think of some of the stories, we were doing stories on Big Boy's anniversary and like, I mean, stuff that was not news, not even remotely news. I told Sierra today on camera that I did the world's largest sauna up there because they have all these Finnish American people in northern Michigan. In fact, they had a show called Suomikutsu. It was the only Finnish-speaking show on TV in America, and it had been on air for like 30 years.
Get out!
Yeah, so when Lauri Markkanen came in, I came up to him and I said, Suomikutsu, and he looked at me like,
how do you know that?
That's all I know. I mean, that's literally the only line I know in Finnish. That's Finland Calling was the name of the show. But it was on. It was on every Sunday for a half hour, completely spoken in Finnish.
How does one lead into that and then come out of a show like it's almost like yeah. are you going to just act like nothing just happened? Like you right. come on with your program after a half an hour of Finnish conversation.
Right.
How do you even? You just ignore it. You just move on and just act like nothing happened.
I think the follow-up was a fishing show.
Okay.
So I think they went from the Finnish-speaking show straight into Buck Levasseur's Great Outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Someone just said that you had nice pronunciation. So
Finns appreciate that, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, I was one of them for 4 years.
So, all right. So give me the trajectory from where you started to where, of course, you're here now.
Right.
But what was the next job and the next job and the next job?
So Marquette, Michigan was the first three and a half years. I finally got into sports at the end, paid to leave the station before I left, which is a whole nother story.
But wait, whoa.
I paid to leave the station.
You had to buy your contract out?
But I didn't have a contract. That's the crazy part.
How much did you pay him?
A couple thousand dollars.
To be like, I just want to be done with you?
Yes, just to get it. Like, it ended up being a story where a general manager at the first station and second station that I was going to didn't like each other, and I got caught between the two. And so I had accepted the job at the second place in Lincoln, Nebraska, and the two GMs didn't like each other. And so in order to leave and have a job at either one of the places, I wrote a guy a personal check.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was making $13,500 a year. So
oh.
It was, you know, you were pretty much, you definitely paycheck to paycheck. I think my paychecks were like $500.
I feel like Luke Stuckmeyer got stuck up. I feel like that program director or news director that he had, like, that's a robbery. That's a robbery. I don't have a contract. I can't leave. I got to pay you. A personal check? Like, not to the station. You know, not like, oh, we need a camera, so, you know, buy us a new camera and you're done. In my pocket. Or I'm not going to let you leave. Luke Stuckmeyer was kidnapped. That's what we found out last night. The whole conversation is incredible. It's a great hour. We also had some really good stuff from our friend Shakia Taylor, who was on the show. 670thescore.com/Lawrence Holmes Show. Luke got that money back. Making him big dollars now. Wrote him a check. Man, I'd have just bounced. See ya. We'll talk with Julie DeCaro next here on The Score. We had a short time together yesterday. I wanted to make sure that we had ample time to hang out with each other today. If you need legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legal advice or look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz and Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legal advice. And this segment being brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep, a new Tomorrow hybrid mattress crafted by experts at Serta Simmons. Visit gettomorrowsleep.com. Use code TRAFFIC3 for $200 off when you spend $500 or more. Julie DeCaro is in the house. So I'm on Instagram, and I follow you on the gram. You had a good time up at Wrigley today trying to stay in the sunshine.
And it was one of those things where by, like, the fifth inning, everyone there was in, like, the first eight rows all around the stadium. So it was so nice. I was like this in the sun. I have a long sleeve shirt and a shirt under it, and it was totally fine. And as soon as it goes behind the stadium, it must have dropped 20 degrees.
It was like that when I was, because you wake up and there's snow everywhere.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, the sun's coming out. So by the time I got back from the gym this morning, it was about 9 o'clock or so. The sun had melted away a lot of it, but you could tell the areas where the sun hadn't been,
yeah,
they were
exactly.
still there. So this afternoon, I was like, man, it looks great outside. So I went to go take out the recycling. And my house is set up so, like, the yard gets a lot of light from when the sun is west. It doesn't get any light, you know, well, a little bit of light when it's south. And as I'm walking out the door, I'm still kind of in the shadow. And I was like, man, this, I thought it was nice. And then you walk in the sun, you're like, ah.
I know. It's like spinning around Sound of Music. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
It felt really good.
I was driving this morning. My hair was wet. I'm picking my kid up from school for his orthodontist appointment at Wrigley Field.
I saw that you took your son. You let your son play hooky.
Oh, yeah. I got to do that. I mean, his teacher, hilariously, he was checking the Cubs score one day last year. And his teacher's like, if I see you checking the score again, I'm going to call your mom. And he starts, like, laughing hysterically. He's like,
yeah.
What's my mom going to do?
What's
she's like,
gonna
she's going to be like, well, they're playing the Cardinals. I mean, that's why I wanted to check.
Right.
But so the sun is down. My hair's wet. I have the window down. I got my hair hanging out the window trying to dry it. And then I look at the dashboard. I'm like, oh, it's so nice and warm today. It's sunny. Look at the dashboard. 42 degrees.
Yep. But this, look, we talked about this earlier. As long as the sun's out, I'm cool. Like, it can be 45 degrees and sunny. I just couldn't handle any more gloom. I couldn't handle... It's gray, it's dark, it's gray, it's dark, it's gray. I couldn't do it. I needed that. I opened up the blinds today in the house and just kind of let... Did you get sunburned?
A little bit.
You are a little rosy-cheeked right now.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, we had meteorologists, Maggie and I, don't ask why, calling us on Saturday, and they were saying that the sun right now is as warm as it is in September. But it's just because of this high pressure, this ridge of cold air... that we're still so cold.
Got
Otherwise, it.
It
would be really warm. And you can tell when you sit in it, it's really warm. But,
well,
man.
Did you guys have fun?
We did. Till about the last, you know, half inning when I couldn't feel my toes anymore.
Well, I thought you were going to say that when it started to get close in, what, the seventh? When the Cardinals all of a sudden, like, woke up and you weren't concerned?
No.
Do you and your son do this? Do you... Like, take both of them? Like, do they each get their own day with mom at a Cubs game?
My older one is not into baseball at all. So,
okay.
My younger one is my Cubs guy. My older one is, like, Bulls and Bears.
Okay. So, you find a different...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
That's all. It's always fun when you... I always think about this. The Price is Right theme song has that effect on me because it means you're not in school. Like, if you're if you're hearing The Price is Right, it means you're, you know, at home watching TV in the middle of the day.
I feel that way about supermarket music, too, because it was like when I was home and I got to go with my mom and I'd hear, like, Muzak.
That's, I never thought about
that. In the Jules.
Yeah. You know, over there. Over by Niles. There.
Yep.
I think about that. Like, it makes me happy. Like, when I hear The Price is Right theme song, I get really happy.
Yeah.
See?
It's the sound of being home from school. Great, yep.
I like when they do the breakdown at the end. Tony, have you ever even really listened to this song?
I know it when I hear it. I know it's a theme song. I couldn't tell you if I wasn't looking at it.
All right. Well, there's a breakdown that's coming because you have to – they have to have finished the show really early to get to the breakdown. Like someone wins the Showcase Showdown. Then they're over there by the car. Then there's like a nice breakdown. Here we go. Pump that up. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like this, the Days of Our Lives theme song. That's another good one.
Oh, you're right. All My Children Back in the Day. Yep.
Nobody watches soap operas anymore, right?
Well, that's
are they
why
even on anymore?
No, I mean, like General Hospital, I think, is still on. And you know how I know that? Because the Cubs game was on ABC7. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday they threw stuff on. And then today they ran a crawl and was like, today's episode of General Hospital will be on at 3 a.m. or whatever it is. Because
wow, I had no idea.
I think it's like the last one left. Like there's two or three that are left.
I feel like every channel is like news until like 10 o'clock, then like 8 hours of extra or Access Hollywood, and then you go into nighttime news.
It's kind of becoming that. There isn't a lot of stuff like in the middle of the day anymore. There's some stuff like The Talk and The View and all of that stuff. By the way, are you an Aisha Tyler fan?
When she was on Talk Soup. I haven't paid attention to her for a long time.
She was on the WTF podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mark Maron.
Yeah, and I like, you know, I'm a big Aisha Tyler fan. Love her on Archer. The podcast is worth your time.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. She's been going through some stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So it's worth your time. Like, she's got a new movie that she's, like, directing, but her sit-down with Maron was...
He's a really good interviewer.
He's very good at it. Another one, Chicago-based, Gina Rodriguez's appearance on the WTF podcast is very good. And it's I'm a huge fan of Gina Rodriguez. But there was stuff about her I didn't know. Like, her father is, like, a famous boxing referee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And so there's a ton of Chicago, like, she explains, like, growing up not far from the old Score station.
Yeah.
But going to St. Ignatius. So, and that, making that journey from... a neighborhood of no privilege to a school of privilege. It's interesting stuff. But the Aisha Tyler one, like, it was one of those ones where I was like, sis, you all right? You know, like.
No,
like,
you specifically pointed it at me. Like, you should listen to this because,
Julie,
you guys maybe could, like, you know, hang out or something.
You should listen to this because you.
My favorite WTF is the one with Michael Keaton because he's exactly who I wanted him to be. He is the guy he played in Mr. Mom, the guy he played in Gung Ho. That's exactly who Michael Keaton is. And I love that.
It's nice when you get that, when you get the interview of someone and you're like, I'm glad that person's nice. Meanwhile, you see, you know, John Cusack fighting with SE Cup on Twitter and you're like, what's going on? Like, stop that. Stop it right now. Tony was telling me, we watched an interview today of Paula Patton, who's Robin Thicke's ex-wife.
Yo, I know who she is.
And she was on Desus and Mero last night.
Love that show. I watched it last night. I saw Seth Rogen.
Yeah. It was two nights ago.
I got in the rerun.
She was very hyper in her interview with Desus and Mero. That's all I'm going to say. But, you know.
That's my talk show at night. Desus and Mero.
They do a great job.
They're hilarious. Sometimes I have to watch with closed captioning because they talk so fast, I can't figure out what they're saying.
What I like about them is what I loved about Terry Bores. Free.
Yeah.
They're just whatever. Like, there's a freedom in what they do, and it's fantastic. All right, Julie, what are you going to do on your show tonight?
Mark Grody is going to be here right out of the box to talk Bears, tell us about minicamp.
Fantastic.
Then Matt Moore is going to be here at 11 to talk some NBA postseason. We got a lot of Cubs stuff to talk about today, White Sox stuff to talk about. Lots going on.
All right, good. I'm looking forward to that. Tomorrow's show is going to be 6 to 7:05 because the Cubs are out in Colorado. So we'll have an hour to do some stuff. I'm planning on doing some bear stuff on tomorrow's show as well. Listen to Julie's show. It's coming up next until midnight. Check her out. Follow me on the twitter.com at Lawrence W. Holmes. It's also my tag for Instagram. If you're on the gram, I am there at Lawrence W. Holmes. Have a great night. I'll talk to you at 6 tomorrow. Julie is next, and she's sunburned.
Woo!
Bye-bye.
Oh, tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.